Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up, everybody, and burn down, burn down. The system fails, the exit moves. Wake up, the silence returns.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 81. Yes, 81. We're marching on 100 now, and this is Stephen Zimmer. You did not expect to hear me tonight, but unfortunately, Alexander S. Brown, the great Alex, is a little under the weather, so the Sailor Alex team is going to be back as soon as Alex gets healthier. And but tonight I dived in, and I've got a oh boy, we have a show for you. You're probably wondering, are we going to do a whole night exploring the finer aspects of falconry, or are we going to talk about bourbon tonight? But of course, who would I be doing this with? Is it going to get crazy? Is it? I'm not sure. It could get kind of wild here in the Star Chamber Show tonight. But without further ado, there he is. On the horizon. Yep, our air raid sirens are picking him up. Looks like a bomber formation is coming. That's the signal. You know who it is. It is the one, the only, the man that we affectionately call the bomber, the man that's the colonel, the man that is the Jarl of Frist, the man that has so many nicknames, you have to keep a book to keep up with them all. But welcome to Eric Jude, my co-host for tonight, and our return as co-hosting together.
Oh, hey, that's me. I can barely keep up with what I'm calling myself day to day. How you doing?
I hear a little guitar. I'm doing good. I will have you know that I'm wearing a King Oscar t-shirt. I have a witness here, and I can vouch for that. And I am drinking Eagle Rare bourbon out of a snow snake flask. So how's that for proper preparation?
Now, as a Kentucky colonel, I can properly attest to you that having fine libations of Eagle Rare variety out of a snow snake flask is in good accord.
Yes, the eagle and the snake together. But that Snow Snake, for those of you that don't know, is the my favorite all-time short film, which was, of course, directed and produced by none other than Eric. And it will be screening at Imaginarium. Of course, to be fair to all the other competitors, we have to hold it out of the competition because, of course, it's too much competition, right?
I really do not want it to enter it and make everybody look bad, because it's so good.
Seriously, it is my favorite short film, and in all seriousness, of course, because Eric is the film festival director for Imaginarium, it would be a wee bit of a conflict of interest if it was in the judging. But we are going to screen it. But Snow Snakes is my favorite short film, truthfully, that I've ever seen.
I'll be honest with you, even if which of course we're not, because that would destroy all credibility for the film festival. However, if it was actually eligible to be awarded, I would vote thumbs down on it.
That's I figured you'd say something like that. But I think we're keeping a bourbon theme. So I think you're going with what, Old Crow tonight for our show tonight?
Well, Old Crow, it was good enough for Mark Twain. It is definitely good enough for me.
It is good stuff. It is definitely good stuff. So yeah, I figured I'd go Bert. The only Bird bourbon I had on hand was Eagle Rare. So yeah.
Yeah, the only Eagle Rare is just this old dishwater. For anybody that doesn't know, Eagle Rare is made by Buffalo Trace Distillery, and it is one of the signature bourbons available, and it is very, very nice. It wins almost every competition it enters, so it's not like you're drinking hogwash.
Yeah. No, and if you have not seen it on ericjude.com, Eric did an article about when we went to see the Jim Beam Distillery, and it talks about bourbon and what bourbon is, and it's one of the better articles about bourbon I think you can find on the internet, but if you do visit ericjude.com, you can check it out if you want to learn a little bit about our home state's elixir, which, of course, is, you know, what bourbon is. But we are, definitely got to mention bourbon, and of course, got to mention, you know, falconry. Because what's a show with Eric and Steven without mentioning falconry? We got to at least get that in there.
It's a great art, you know. That's what it is. It's an art. It's, you know, it takes years of dedication and practice. You know, if you actually look at what it takes to become a falconeer. Is that what they call them, falconeers? Falcon handler?
Falconers.
Whatever they are, it is, you'd have an easier time training to be an astronaut.
Well, we'll have to get a bunch of falcons going in there in Breathitt County soon, and maybe we'll get a second group going in VV, Indiana at some point. So we can start it up. Oh, man. So how are you, first of all, Eric? I have not gotten to talk to you on the phone in a long time because, of course, you rarely talk on phones.
Well, you know, I have this phobia of phones. I'm pretty sure that they're sinister devices that was just invented to steal your voice. So that's one of the reasons why I rarely partake in a good old-fashioned phone conversation, which is kind of weird because I don't really like newfangled modern things. And
well, newfangled phones capture Pokemons nowadays.
Man, I tell you, that's crazy. People run around with these little phones, and they trying to catch these little imaginary creatures, and I don't know, it's weird. But people like it, I guess.
Oh, yes, I nearly got run over in the grocery store by a girl chasing a Pokemon in the middle of the grocery store and not looking where she's going. It's happened before.
But, you know, I've been doing pretty good. I've been doing a lot of painting recently. I really kind of enjoy that. And hopefully I will paint so many paintings by the time I die that I'll die poor, but somebody will find them and make a fortune off of me like all the other painters, you know, like Picasso. You know, if anybody, he died poor. I really don't think he was all that great of a painter, but he painted so much stuff that his work is now worth a fortune.
Well, I am proud to have an Eric Jude original painting on canvas in my living room. So I actually am, because I was one of the people smart enough to pounce on your Christmas sale and buy one of the paintings offered.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I hope when I die they actually become worth something. That way the Zimmer estate will have... but I sign all my paintings Akula, which is, again, back to all my many different names. So you're never... I think I signed yours, Jude. So actually, yours
is
pretty rare. It's rare because I don't do it anymore. So that's going to make
it
worth
a lot more money. It is indeed signed that. And Yeah, alluding to one of your other talents. Yeah, the funny thing is that the photo I bought from you Authors Fair in Madison ended up being the same one that was chosen by my awesome girlfriend Holly when she bought a photo from you, and we both were like, oh my God, we bought the same, picked the same one. So that awesome train shot you have.
Yeah, both of you just went right straight for it and picked it up. It was, I guess great minds and all. No, linked minds. So yeah, you were definitely on the same wavelength. That's the thing.
Yeah, Gary, I don't know if that's more concerning for Holly or me or.
Hey, you two hit it off pretty well, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, rumor has it she may call in tonight, so beware.
Hey, we welcome her on board.
Yeah. She's never been on the show before, but she is in something with you and I together. She does the Seventh Star blog, which actually has become quite a nice cluster of writers. We've got a dozen now doing columns over there, and of course, your Kylie is one of them, and you, and then myself and Holly, and then we got the great Peter Welmerink, who just came aboard. We got Andrew Cooper, we've got Joan Buchanan, we got Melissa Robinson, Jill Campbell, Randy Campbell, who was on last Star Chamber show with me and Michael West, Julie Fink, Georgia L. Jones, Scott Sandridge. I'm hoping I list everybody. That's just off the top of my head. But I think I got everybody, didn't I?
I believe so. You got a pretty good memory. I barely remember. I write for it, so.
Well, I'll know because I'll get an email folks cussing me out in the morning if I forgot one person.
That's how it works.
Of course, when you and I get in the show, it's crazy. The ratings really are going to tend to be pretty good because nobody knows what the hell we're going to do. or Tommy B. Smith, we know he's definitely enamored of our shows together. And I know he's out there somewhere. And, of course, we got to send a shout-out to my buddy Jonathan Peacock, who's one of the Lexington Ghostbusters. I know he may be out there listening tonight. A lot of folks that I really love probably are peeking in to see just what you and I do to the show and if the Star Chamber show exists after we get done.
Hey, our Christmas special, man, it was all 2 hours. And it held up. The show continued on after that. That was a good show.
Yeah, we're diving in tonight, but you definitely got to do like a full 2-hour show sometime. Maybe after Imaginarium, we'll have to have just one absolutely bourbon soaked wine down from Imaginarium on the air. Oh, God.
What was it? The Christmas Eve special? We need to do it again this year because that was a pretty good little show.
We're still standing after Sunday, and if we've made it to the Troll Pub for our traditional Troll Pub visit, then I think we'll be all right. So, but we will see.
That Sunday will be, what, the 9th of October, because Imaginarium starts on the 7th?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Imaginarium. I'm looking forward to doing Imaginarium, getting it over, so we can go to the Troll Pub.
Yeah. That's like the only time we can get everybody together.
Well, that's the only reason why I do the Imaginarium. I just do that just so I can go to the pub.
See, I kind of figured that's what you were doing. But that's good. We actually got somebody, both Eric and Kylie, to be our film festival directors and with luring them in with the Troll Pub. That's how you do it, folks. That's how you get good people to run departments. Use the Troll Pub.
Promise them food and libations.
And trolls under bridges. Oh, man, do they ever. Yeah, they got it all. They do have trolls under bridges, and they do have libations. It is definitely a Louisville gem if you get a chance to see it. So
it's really good food. I was there. I ate the fish and chips, which is that was good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm, of course, myself, I'm Yeah, I'm not copying the great Michael West, my co-host on regular nights on the show, but I always go for the chicken and waffle sandwich, which is amazing there. We've got this great kind of butter kind of sauce you put on it, and yeah, instead of bread, it's waffles, and just very, very well-prepared chicken. It is just absolutely delightful, and they serve it with sweet potato tater tots, which are just amazing. I think they're even better than sweet potato fries. I mean, they're just so good. I think I've converted Glenn Porzig to them. I think I have on previous visits. But
Glenn, yeah. He's a good guy.
Oh, Glenn, yeah, of course, man. I got to give him a plug and a shout out real quick there.
Thank you.
Jeff Glaze, the man. Yeah, we got Jeff Glaze the last time out when we were up there. Oh, God, we were up there for Phantom Fest, and we shot down for the Troll Pub. We got the Glaze out there. Of course, Jeff has been just blowing everybody's minds with some of the beautiful, you know, beautiful images he's been creating for some of the Imaginarium promos. Just, wow, you know, just cool stuff. So we'll have to get him out for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If we have to trick him, if we have to drag him, whatever, he has to come to the Troll Pub at the end of the Imaginarium. And you out there.
Yeah, Michael West will be in.
Yep. And everybody else
will be in, too. We should be able to take over that place. We should be able to just absolutely take over.
Especially if everybody out there listening actually comes to the Imaginarium, goes to the weekend with us, and earns that badge of honor of getting to go to the Troll Pub. Yes, you out there listening, we want you.
And if you make it through the weekend Imaginarium, you're impressive because, oh, my God, we got over 100 panels, all the workshops, and so we got content galore. And we, of course, everybody knows we got, you know, all-around gaming. We got the film festival all weekend, the expo. We got two just amazing nights of entertainment this year. We got a Wings of Flight on Friday night this year, which I think you're going to enjoy, Eric. Which actually, we have magic. We have the early part of the show is all ages in the early part of the evening, and that's got C.S. Marks, a best-selling fantasy author, doing a film concert, and then magician Richard Cross, who's really talented, doing a magic show, and we've probably got some other performers there. And then late in the evening, Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens are taking the stage. I have seen the show. It is amazing. The performers are absolutely amazing. But it's the Imaginary Magic and Cabaret show is what we're calling our show. But I have seen this show before, and it's absolutely well put together. It's a great show, and Big Daddy Cool is just an amazing host. He's an entertainer. He's a magician. He's also a great podcaster and writer and just everything. I mean, he's a guy that I think you are going to like meeting, and I'm thrilled to have him aboard with us at Imaginarium. He's also goes by the name of John Pica, but he's a new addition, and that was all made possible by Dragon Wings Dragon Butterfly and Fairy Wings, of course, Julie Fink's outfit sponsored the evening and made it possible. So definitely want to give a plug and shout out to Julie Fink for making this show possible. But it's a big Friday night show. And that, of course, is now kind of balances with our Saturday night, which we have that Killer Masquerade, which is very popular the first 2 years. And this year gets even better because we have big cash prizes for the winners in the costume contest and it's going to be a lot of entertainment. So by the time we get to the Troll Pub, I think people are going to definitely prove their stamina for sure. So.
Oh, yeah. The days, I know the days for me start at 8 a.m. and end at 3 a.m. So, yeah, it's a good time, though. You know, you're up for hours and hours, but I've enjoyed the last 2 years.
But I'll give you some hope, Eric. People are requesting the film. I swear, new volunteers are like one out of every two is requesting to work with you in the film festival. So you're just like well-loved.
God bless them. I'll take every one of them.
Yeah, so you definitely have some to watch. And hopefully with the new system that we have, make your life a little easier since we're moving to a digital system off of instead of discs this year.
It's actually going to streamline it and make it look very professional.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
And speaking of the film festival, we can't, of course, the films are just about to enter the judging phase at right now as we speak, in the next few days here. But here's the thing I want to ask you, though. Without touting any particular individual films, you and Kylie as film festival directors, of course, have been involved in, evaluating, submissions and things like that. What's your general assessment of this year's batch of films across the board, in general terms? What are your feelings after seeing some of the things that are coming in this year, even compared, not totally, but even compared a little bit to previous years? I mean, do you have a sense that this is going to be our finest year yet, film festival wise?
Well, I can say this because it was a film that was in a previous year. It might have been the first year, but it was called Fast Zombies Suck. And that was my personal favorite of all of them. It's a really good little film. It's a short film. And that blew my mind. It really just, the way the story progressed and the way the story was told, even the way it was filmed, it was just, I was really impressed by it. And I thought, it's going to be really hard to top that one. But there's a few in here that are just on par with how that intrigued me. There's one of them. Oh, I wish I could say. I can't say what it is, but it's, I think it's going to influence me as a filmmaker. It's submitted this year. So it's really good. And for the record, I don't judge anything. I mean, I can say, well, yeah, I like this and that, but I kind of just exclude myself from the judging in general. So that way, if I meet filmmakers and talk to them, I can be completely unbiased to them, and say, hey, me, whatever you do will not influence the outcome.
Yes, and you, of course, now you're talking about Snow Snakes, right? That's the film you're just dying to mention. That's one you're talking about.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm really disappointed that I wasn't contacted by the Academy Awards because I should have won an Oscar for that. But I can't even win Imaginary Film Festival Award with it, and I'm one of the people that run it. So my hopes of actually winning the Academy Award with it are pretty bleak.
Well, I have personally seen this film. I'm not lying. I'm actually being deadly serious. Deadly dangerous in the movie. But it's. But I have actually seen this film, and I have counted the times objectively. I've seen this film 23 times to date. So. And it's just it's definitely. I mean, it's just amazing. You can't get tired of it.
If anybody's up there interested in it, it is on ericjude.com, and it was completely just improv. It was actually just a way to test a sound system and a camera rig. I actually didn't mean to even make anything that was going to be for public consumption, but I kind of liked it. It's kind
of course, you got to tell people, though, a Snow Snake Den is a deadly place of hell.
Indeed. I think
I cannot wait. Actually, I hope we get it. The timing the schedule has not been released yet, but I am definitely going to try to influence the scheduling of the Snow Snake screening so that I can make it, because I would love to be in the pack room watching Snow Snakes and find out the dialogue hands down. So it would be a blast, because I could shine as an audience member. I could shine.
Off the top of
your head.
Yeah,
we could perform it.
You could. You know the script better than me.
Oh, man. The last few times I watched it, I've been able to almost go with the screen, like on beat. It's been great.
What
oh, man.
It for you to catch it?
What's that?
I said, off the top of your head, what would be a good time for you to catch a Snow Snake screening?
Evening after, I'd say about 9 to 9-ish or so, because
okay,
that way we'd be clear of the awards banquet on Saturday, And on Friday, we'd just be kind of in the mid-zone of the some of the entertainment stuff getting underway. And so, yeah, probably could get away for the 20-some-odd minutes that it would take.
Okay, I will personally make sure that it plays Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll be up. I'll definitely be on one point. It's not a weekend that we definitely don't sleep in, those of us on staff.
Nope, it's coffee.
However,
coffee,
Monday,
coffee.
Monday, you will not be able to get me up in the morning. Monday after Imaginarium, unless you know, it's meeting Eric, Jude, and Kylie for brunch or something, I will not be getting up in the morning.
Oh, that Monday mornings are rough.
After a convention, that's what I tell everybody that's a new author. I always say, like, if you go to a convention, just trust me. Take Monday off right now. Yeah, make sure you do not schedule anything for Monday, because if you do a convention properly, you're going to be wiped out. You are.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
I'm talking
as an attendee, not as the person that works it even, but just an attendee. I mean, you just got to simply be, you know, tired.
The first Imaginarium, when I got back that Monday, I came home and dug 10 bushels of potatoes. That was that was unique.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's horrific. Because I know how I feel after Imaginarium. Oh, my God. That's a tough
one.
Hopefully you've got this year clear.
Yeah, there's... Everything has been taken care of, so I ain't doing a thing.
So you can dig 10 bushels of sweet potato tater tots at the Troll Pub instead.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. And while we're on the subject of events, though, I do want to give one shout-out to my wonderful friend, Addie Eve, who runs the great Kentucky Anna Authors site. I'm going to be at this, and on behalf of Seventh Star Press, and we're very proud to be one of the sponsors of it. But the Kentucky Authors Book Blitz is happening this Sunday, September 18th, in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And it's from 12 to 5 p.m., and it's noon to 5, and it's at 300 Spring Street in Jeffersonville, Indiana, noon to 5, and I believe it is free to the public. So as far as for that noon to 5 period, it's absolutely free to attend. But it's a great group of authors who are going to be there. And one of the other sponsors is the awesome Ren Garcia, who's one of the folks I just love from the con circuit. And so he has drawn the short straw, and will be his table is evidently going to be across from mine. So poor guy has to look at me all day. So he's in for some suffering, but other than that, everybody else should be having a good time. And of course, Addie Eve does a great job with Kentucky Anna Authors and the Kentucky Anna Authors Book Blitz is going to be a really cool thing this Sunday. And it's gonna looking forward to that. And if you can find a way to get on the Ural Frist corporate jet, you gotta shoot down for that.
It's for the low price of $5 million, you can ride it for an hour. So
hey, you're backing away the cash now that alcohol is legal in Breathitt County. I see your cash is pouring in now. Let's see how it goes.
It only took us 70-some years to decide the prohibition was over. You know, we take things a little bit slow around here, but that's okay. That's okay. But, yeah, we finally ended the prohibition, and fairly soon we'll be able to buy alcohol here. And
well, I think it's
an event,
absolute travesty. You can't sell bourbon in Kentucky in a place, some places. That's just tragic. So glad you led the effort to get that corrected.
And there was a lot of good folks out there who were fighting for it. You know, it just came time to end that old tired prohibition or a blue law. You know. Get rid of the drought, make the county wet again. So, yeah, hopefully, maybe in the future. See, one of my dreams I've always had was to have like a book fair here, and but I knew there was no way I could get authors to Breathitt County unless there was alcohol. Now maybe I can get a few authors to come in and sell to the fine folks of Breathitt County.
Well, you know, the easiest place to find authors at a convention, just go to the local bar.
Indeed. There's more authors you can shake a stick at.
We are an interesting bunch, for sure. But yeah, it's Breathitt County is just a gorgeous place, and I'm looking forward to definitely doing some TV show stuff down there with the Raven Valkyrie project, which, of course, we've moved to April the 12th is when we start shooting. But the good news is that Frozen Creek Studios, which you are the founder of, you have yourself a Hollywood-caliber workstation now that we're going to be doing the show off of. So that's another new toy that you've been playing with.
Oh, it's a good machine, and it's going to be able to handle this Raven project very efficiently.
Yeah, it was spooky when I got to see all the specs on that thing. It's just like, oh wow, that's so awesome.
I'm kind of afraid of it. I'm kind of afraid that I wake up in the middle of the night and it's took over the internet, and you know, it's making demands to the United Nations and things of that sort. So, it's not even connected to the internet, and I'm afraid it's going to somehow connect to the internet.
I wouldn't be surprised, because oh my God, I mean, it's got a graphics card on steroids. I mean, it's got just absolutely cutting edge RAM. I mean, I think that machine is just built to kill. I mean, it is a true Hollywood grade workstation. I can't remember the designation of it, but it's an HP Z something, right? God, I can't remember.
Z 840.
Z 840, yeah.
It's hopped up quite a bit, so.
Yeah, it's really loaded, and this particular system definitely is ready to unleash the thunder. And I know Kylie's probably been seventh heaven after exploring its editing capabilities.
I think she's afraid of it too.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, the next round of book trailers from Frozen Creek Studios, they're going to be like George Lucas Productions.
Hey, if a person's got the coin, you better believe it.
Yeah.
You know, our base rate.
Well then you better not be talking to authors, because coin is not a common thing among us. That's for sure the way the industry is. Oh, it's depressing, but, well, I got to laugh about it.
For authors, only charge 6 cents a minute for final product. So, I mean, that's only 2 years of work for them per minute. So
nice.
We're considered. Anybody else, we charge 10 billion a minute.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, authors will be grateful to you.
Yeah.
And actually, digital artist. Yeah, God, I tell you, I am about to go on my rant on one of my next blogs, I think, and talk about how tangible formats were helped people in the public to perceive art with value, whereas digital formats have caused people to perceive art with less value. And that might sound a little strange, but I am going to write a blog piece on my thoughts on that, because I was actually thinking about that while just playing some vinyl the other day, and just thinking about how, you know how the way I consume music, it caused me to really focus on the artists and the way you handle tangible stuff and the way it's, you know, used to be purchased in stores. I mean, there was a little more, you know, of a reverence and an appreciation for the creators, as opposed to, you know, digital, where everybody just thinks it's, you know, should be 99 cents or free, you know. And so I'm definitely going to go on a little, not a rant, but I think I am going to talk about how format changes have even caused people to view art and stuff like that in a different light. But that's probably going to be popping up on a 7-star blog pretty soon.
You definitely should write that, because that is a worthy subject. You know, it's just because it's digital doesn't mean effort wasn't put into it. In fact, most of the time, digital, a lot more effort goes into it. You know, it's somebody's. Well, heck, you buy a book. It doesn't matter if you buy it off of Kindle. You know, you're looking at anywhere between 6 months and 2 years of people. You know, it takes more than one person to produce a book, so that's people's lives. And it's not respected. You know, and I'm not talking about books that, I'm talking about good books. You know, books that you actually read and like, whoa, that's some really good writing. This person might actually have a shot to be remembered after they're gone from the world. But because it's a digital format, people are just like, eh.
Sad. Ooh,
well,
I hear some
Zimmer,
music in the background.
I think I'm going to play a song.
Here it is.
Now this song, I played it once earlier when I wrote it, and I haven't rehearsed it since. But it's a little gem that I like to call Frozen Creek. Let's see if I can get to it one take. And I'm totally not stalling right now. I'm just trying to set it up so you understand what the song is about. All right, here we go. Take one's gone. Take two. Once upon a time, I went to Frozen Creek. I went to Frozen Creek to have a good time. I went to Frozen Creek and I spent every dime. I went to Frozen Creek and I bought some shine. I went to Frozen Creek and I had a good old time. Now listen to my words, listen what I gotta say. Don't you go to Frozen Creek, don't you go anyway. They'll find my bones, they'll find them deep, they'll find them on Frozen Creek. Don't go to Frozen Creek, don't go there. So there you go. That's the second time I've played it.
That is awesome, man. That is awesome. I think, oh my God, I think the people, the fans are definitely, I think they're reacting here.
Hey, that is why I only play one show a night. I mean.
I went to Frozen Creek, I bought some Showtime pizza. That's my Weird Al parody of that song, but
the world needs that, man. You should. It's a. I can teach you that song in like half a second. It's the same thing over and over. So,
I can see Glenn Danzig doing a cover of that on his next covers album.
Hey, Frozen.
With those really real somber Danzig-esque kind of chords, you know, and. I went to Frozen Creek. That'd be awesome. Uh-oh. We got trouble happening here. Hold on, Eric. Hold on. Uh-oh. What's that? Hold on. I think things are about to go haywire. And why is that? Because I see that the great Holly Marie Phillippe has called in.
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, how you doing out there?
Well, I'm doing fantastic since I heard your rendition of the Frozen Creek song.
I spent about spent a lot of time working on that, about 5 minutes.
Well, it was fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And I agree, only one show a night, because people can just not handle all that talent. There's just, you know, it just, yeah, there's no way.
Well, their heads would explode. I don't really know if that was a good thing or not, because it's pretty awful. But
well, I enjoyed it anyway. It was very good.
I think we'll probably get a million views of this, or not views, but listens to this show just because of that live original song debut.
Well, Stephen, I think he needs to play that at Imaginarium. He needs to bring his guitar.
At Snowsnake screening.
Yes,
oh, my God.
Snowsnake.
Oh, no, worst part of Wings of Flight. Wings of Flight night.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Hold up a minute now. Hold up. Let me put you over to my manager. Can you hold on a second? Yes,
sure.
Hello. Yeah, we're going to need about $1,000 a minute for this.
Don't you hear this?
At this point, the budget is shot.
Hey.
Oh, dear.
Do not listen to my manager. Do not listen to my manager. I'll do the show for free. No, he will not do the show for free. I will do the show for free.
Stellar man here. Stellar man. That's
fantastic. Oh, man. That's fantastic. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Hey, Stephen, I think you need to warm up your fingers there and, you know, give him some rhythm, you know, some help with rhythm.
Oh, heck yeah, if Eric could teach it to me, I could play rhythm guitar with him.
Yeah.
That'd be badass.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man.
I could play a tambourine.
Actually, author Will Hutcherson is in the chat room tonight, and his father, Trevor, happens to be a guitar player, so we'll have to draft him, too. Who knows?
There you go. We have a whole new bunch of entertainment here.
Hey, there we go. Hey, I tell you what. You all do that, my manager's going to give us $1,000 per minute from them suckers. Oh, never mind. Never mind.
Fantastic. Oh, man. Well, that's a rare treat. We actually had an Eric Jude original song debuted on the Star Chamber show live. So all of you listening are definitely should feel privileged.
Yeah, that was a treat.
It was a treat. And this is, by the way, Hollerin' Holly is one of the columnists at the 7-Star blog. So
woo-hoo.
She has a column and actually has written a couple good ones, very good ones so far. And especially since she's had a up front and center view of authors, for sure. She's definitely been a very supportive of the author world and been viewing the life of one up front and center very, very much so, and seeing all the living chaos that is.
But
oh,
we have to have our authors in the world. Yes, indeed.
Yes, she was a little saner. I really do.
We got to have our Eric Judes too.
Oh my God!
Oh,
yeah,
what,
you know
what?
You have to have your Eric Judes because he knows what's going on.
That's
I'll
true.
Let me tell you, he's the only one you can trust.
That's
yeah,
true.
He's the. There's a big story behind that, but I don't know if we're ready to talk about that.
Yeah,
one
we
yet.
Probably don't want to go into that.
But we did establish that, yeah, he knows what's going on, and he's
yeah, Eric knows what's going on.
So it's a wonderful night, isn't it? It's a nice temperature outside.
Oh, man.
We're going to have a good Imaginarium this year, that's for sure.
Yes, in all seriousness, we will. We will,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to this one. I wasn't really looking forward to the other two, but this one, no, I'm joking. The other two were pretty good, but this one is going to be a lot better.
You have a high bar to reach, though, because I believe it was at the last one that you did your masquerade dance with Kylie, and I rarely see you on the dance floor, so that's a high bar to kind of reach now.
Well, this year we're going to see Mr. Zimmer on the dance floor, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, that thing you mentioned didn't happen, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I will say that Michael Nost briefly engineered getting me on the dance floor last year. I didn't last long, but he did. Michael Nost did get me briefly on the dance floor, but this year I might give a slightly better performance. I don't know.
You had a little bit more practice lately, so see, you can do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
can.
Lord.
And I know what's going on. So yes,
yeah, you do.
Indeed. You can.
According to Stephen, you do. Yes.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, that's just objective fact. It's not opinion. But it's, you know, what's going on.
Did you Stephen talk about we have a guest coming that's actually even from out of the States to Imaginary?
Who is our guest of honor?
Well, actually, we have a guest coming from Trinidad, so we have our farthest-ranging guest coming this year. So.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was unaware of this. Why was I not aware of this? I was supposed to know what's going on, but yet I'm not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, her name is Lola Kyle, and she is from Corky Wordy's Book Emporium and Corky Words Publishing, and of course, Corky Words Publishing Limited, I might say, because, she's definitely coming from Trinidad. And so it's going to be kind of fun, you know, to have our longest-ranging guest yet this year.
Pretty exciting.
Well, we went international.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did, on our author guests. And we're definitely, of course, you mentioned our guest of honor. I mean, we've got horror master Brian Keene, who's as good as he possibly gets. And, you know, then we've got Jim C. Hines, who, you know, actually has won a Hugo Award and is a phenomenal fantasy author. And then, of course, I always mention the awesome Jason Sizemore, who's one of the top independent publishers in the nation, and Elizabeth Beverly, who is a New York Times best-selling romance author, is just absolutely wonderful. And so, I mean, yeah, we've got some star power this year. We definitely do. And of course, Michael Nost and Tim Wagner and the gang are returning. And so, yeah, we got an arsenal of just amazing authors and editors and folks. But, yeah, we do have somebody from Trinidad. So that's kind of cool.
That's gnarly. Gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah, we are definitely pumped about that. But, yeah, it's a neat thing because, I think one thing, Eric, you'll like is we have a lot of new faces this year. A lot of we have more filmmaker guests this year, and we have more people have never, you know, like I said, participated in Imaginarium before that are on the guest list. And so it's going to be a nice broad range and mix of folks.
Yeah, it's going to be a definite broad range, even author-wise, the genres. there's like every genre is taken care of, and the panels are off the hook. There's panels on about everything you can imagine. Several workshops are going to be, you know, showcased. It's going to be an incredible year.
Yeah, definitely give a shout out to Susan Marotti and Frank Hall, who are working on the programming side as we speak and getting all that squared away. Should be actually the final schedule should be released here in the next day or two, as I understand it. Yeah, Frank and Susan are definitely anchored away in the programming side of things. And, you know, yours truly, and Holly also, yeah, we've been swarmed. I mean, there's definitely more activity than you can imagine going on just all kinds of messages and communication and promotion, marketing, and vendors, and
yes,
you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just been, yeah, I mean, the indicators are this is going to be a big step forward this year.
If folks out there, you know, don't really know what it takes to run one of these conventions, this year's Imaginarium, the work started on it Tuesday after the last Imaginary. So, I mean, it's like a year's worth of work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you all can put on a, this weekend.
That's true. I mean, we've already, you know, been talking about next year. it's actually, you know, a year in advance. It's, it takes a lot to get everything organized. It takes a lot of people, a lot of volunteers, you know. A lot of people put a lot of work into this.
A lot of bourbon to get through it. A lot of bourbon.
Yeah, my hat's off to all y'all, because I just show up and pretend to be busy and do things and take
credit
for everybody's hard work.
You've done a lot of work already in the film festival side.
You got the film side. Woo! Yeah.
This year with Film Freeway being our submission platform, I mean, we had far more submissions this year than we have in previous years.
I
mean, the screening process this year was far greater than it was in past years. And we got stuff from Russia and places like that.
Incredible.
It's awesome. I mean,
so it really is international now. Yeah, that's incredible.
Sweden,
yeah,
Spain,
we got some nice notes from some Russian filmmakers who were really said it was the best thing. I won't name who it is, but yeah, we have a few Russian filmmakers, but one of them was like, it's the best thing ever happened to them. They were really excited to get in, I was really kind of flattered by all that, we have several films that are coming from overseas, and that's it looks like a really neat balance of stuff. I mean, as far as, we got a nice, we're not something to level, obviously, like Sundance, of course, but we do have a nice, looks like a nice, good quality batch with a nice mix of features and shorts and things like that. So it's going to be a nice year from what I can see in my kind of periphery position.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I've seen most of the films, but I'm just looking forward to this. See, from my perspective, one of the coolest parts about it is being there when it's actually being screened, and it's kind of like when you're trying to do the selections and all of that. You're just, you're doing it for it, but it's no way like the feeling that you have when you're actually there. You know, the convention's going on. You know, the people are there. People are there to watch these films. And you just, you see this film. It's part of the film festival. I'm rambling, but whatever,
Well, yeah, but you see people's expression. You can see how they're reacting to it. You can see, you can feel the emotion. And, yeah, that's a whole other thing besides, just sitting behind a screen.
When you
can actually be there with the people.
Thank you. That is exactly what I was going for with that long drop out.
Yeah, see, hey, great minds think alike,
There you go.
Gotcha. But I can't wait till they all see snow snakes. Woo-wee.
We want to pack that room for snow snakes.
We are going to pack that. Me and Steven are going to pack that in there because it's our number one show. And...
We will make it mandatory for all staff and volunteers.
That's right. Everybody off the floor. Everybody off the floor. Standing room only. We're watching Snow Snakes.
Hey, you got to get views.
You want to
somehow. I'll even be standing there with like $5 bills. Come watch this.
There you go. Hey, I remember a time when we packed a living room. Eric didn't get to be present for that, but we sent him pictures. But we packed a living room completely full. Me and Steven ended up on the floor to do a screening of Snow Snakes.
I want to get a promo shot, the promo shots of a packed screening room for Snow Snakes at Imaginarium. So
fantastic.
we are going to make it mandatory for all staff, all volunteers, and everybody at work.
Yes.
And maybe we'll make it mandatory for vendors if they want to keep their tables.
You have to come watch this. It's been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're waiting with great anticipation for part two.
Yeah. We are.
Yes.
You know, I filmed about most of part two and deleted it all because I hated it. It was it wasn't good enough. That's how I am. You know,
but that's how artists are. Artists, you always think, you know, it's not good enough, but it was probably off the charts. We would have loved it.
Y'all, have you ever seen the movie The Red Violin? Anyways, in the movie The Red Violin, this dude makes this violin. You know, it's like 1700s. And the master of the workshop, you know, he goes to his apprentice who made this violin. The master plays it, and, he, you know, almost a tear comes down his eye. And he's like, this is perfect. This is an amazing violin. And he takes it and he smashes it and says, it's too good for this shop.
Wow.
That is me.
That's by way of your ancestors. Knowing you as I know you, that's likely one of your ancestors.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Snow Snake 2 was too good, so I had to destroy it. I'll make it again, but it'll be just as bad as the first one.
So the next one released was Snow Snake 3.
Yeah, it's actually 3. We didn't get to view 2. It's actually 3.
There you go.
Well, me and Steven could play victims. We can be, you know, dead victims, you know, of tragic snow snake attack.
Snow
snakes
over Lexington. There we go. Snow snakes over Lexington.
There you go. That's fantastic.
Yeah, please do come and shoot and stay at my house for a while. It'll be an epic time.
Yes, please do. I will make chorizo. Chorizo dishes.
Chorizo burgers. Oh, my God, are they good. But, yeah, we need to, if only the audience could experience the mighty chorizo burger made by Holly Felipe. Oh, my God.
I'll be there tomorrow.
And chorizo and eggs.
Yeah.
On eggs?
And eggs, yes. I do it with eggs, yes.
Very good.
Yeah, chorizo is the future.
Yes.
Well, actually, they mentioned chorizo eggs in Midnight Run, which, of course, stars Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. So the mighty chorizo has made it to Hollywood already. So it's as I say, chorizo is the future. But that's for we'll have to hold a show on chorizo next time.
Yes, Stephen, to do a whole show on chorizo.
I believe in chorizo.
By the way,
awesome.
What is chorizo?
It is a fine type of sausage that is, of course, you'll find it in Mexican cuisine very commonly. It is, a little spiced up, but it is just delightful when you can get a chance. It's available at most grocery stores. The weird thing is, they'll often have it in the sausage section. Sometimes they'll actually have it in, like, the Mexican food section or something like that.
Well, Walmart
actually had it
with the queso and stuff, the actual,
with
queso cheeses and stuff. Yeah, it was odd. Instead of having it with
weird, because
the meat.
It's a type of sausage. It's a meat.
Yes.
It's a type of sausage.
Because it'll come in links, like your smoked sausage or your kielbasa's, and it also comes in tubes that is like ground beef, basically. But it's a sausage, and you can just do anything with it that you can put sausage in. I mean, you can do tacos. You can, you know, do eggs with it. You can put it in, you know, hamburger, make hamburger. You can do it in chili. It's amazing.
I'll tell you what, though, we've covered bourbon and falconry and snow snakes and Imaginaria and chorizo on the show. I mean, we have done a good job, and we have about a minute left. So, I wish
ground.
We had a 2-hour show tonight.
No
we could go
in
another hour.
Everything. Fantastic.
Eric, we must do a 2-hour special soon.
We must. We shall.
This is a blast again.
I can hear all the people out there demanding more.
Yeah, thanks to our chat room, folks. Author Carol Preflatish, who is a guest at Imaginarium, is in the chat room, and Will Hutcherson, who's a fine fellow, who I think very much of as an up-and-coming author in the chat room. And, yeah, we definitely appreciate you all for listening. And, Eric and I will definitely give you all a 2-hour special very soon. You can make it that long with us.
And we may even get the Kylie to say hello. Just hello.
And And Tommy
no,
B. Smith.
No.
Who knows? Oh. Oh, well, good night, everybody. Our time has run out. Thank you very much for
everybody,
listening.
Good night. Be good or good at it. I want the last word.